In Ephesians, he's talking about God's creation, creating a new man in us. And I had it figured one day that if God displays the way he creates something, if he does it this way here, then he does it that way all throughout. Every time God's going to do something, he's going to do it the same way. When God saved me, it was the same way that God saved Sterling Leonard. It was by way of the cross, the remission of sins, the shed blood, the death, and the resurrection of Christ was how God saved me. God calls me to repent. I repented. God calls him to repent. He repented. Does everybody understand where I'm going? So if God says he creates things, he does it a certain way. When David and Brother Mike preached this, I mean, outstanding Sunday morning. He preached on Psalm 51. And in that psalm, David is confessing those sins to God. And what he says is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. See, David had a dirty heart. And he didn't like it. Didn't like the results of it. Didn't like the effects of it. Didn't like what he did to his family. So he said, God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. So it just dawned on me one day, when I look in Genesis chapter 1 and I see how God created the world, how he created the stars, how he created us, how he created all the birds and the fish and the flowers and everything like that. That's how God creates. And so what we're looking at is the work of God in a man's life when he brings them to Jesus. Now, the Bible talks about us, I think it's in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works that I produce in my life are not the results of me wanting to do good things. I want to do good things, don't get me wrong. But the things that I do right in life, I attribute only to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm not capable of doing much else. What you see out of me that you like, what you see out of, let's say, your husband or your wife, or you have somebody you look up to that's a saint in the Lord, what you see good out of them, that was the work of God in their life. That was what God created and put in them. Does that make sense to everybody? So you could see this in many, many different ways. This is how God brings a sinner to salvation. You can see it also as this is how God takes us from an area of our life. Let's say we're trying to live for God and we're just kind of stumbling in some areas. This is how God will bring us from that to a new way of living and a new way of thinking, where all of a sudden now we just don't want the old stuff anymore. Does that make sense to you? So let's kind of look at it. I'm going to zoom through this part real fast, because I already went through it last Wednesday and we're just kind of short on time. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Just think about it. There was a beginning. With you and your new life, there was a day. Who remembers the day? The day when you came to Jesus. The day when you said, I'm done. I surrender. God help. Amen. That was the day. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. So what we did was we took that word void. People are void of counsel. They're void of understanding. Void of understanding again. Proverbs 11:12, void of wisdom. Here they are, void of understanding again. All through the Bible, you see they're void of understanding. What that means is that your salvation did not originate, the thought to be saved did not originate in your mind as an original created thought of your mind. God put it there. Because when God found you, you were void. When you were lost, you weren't thinking about getting right with God until God started working in you. Who can remember a day when going to church and praying and reading the Bible was the last thing on your mind, if anything? Who remembers that day? So that day then that you started thinking, this ain't right. Who remembers that? Guess what? God found you void. He found an emptiness in your soul. God saw it that way. In fact, God... Watch this now. You went out and had all the parties and you had all the fun. You spent all the money and you were all with all these people. And you know what God turned that into? Nothing. Void. It became an empty life. Somebody say amen to that. Okay? Your life became a void and an empty life. And God made it that way. Why? So he could fill it. Okay? You liking this so far? All right, now watch this. Okay? So now we get to Genesis 1:2. Turn there. The earth was without form and void and darkness. That's a whole other aspect. But void, I guess, goes with darkness. You were in darkness. You had no light. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now look at what's happening here. What's happening? Who's doing what in verse 2? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God is what began to move in your life. It wasn't you. You can't pat yourself on the back and say, one day I just decided I was going to be a Christian. Bless God. God's just so lucky to have me. That's not how it worked. All of a sudden now, the Spirit of God began to move. Exodus 31:3, and I have filled him. Notice when you got the Spirit of God, now you're going to get wisdom. You're going to get understanding and knowledge. He said, I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And what this is relating to is that God chose a man. When God gave Moses all the instructions for the tabernacle, God chose a man. I can't remember what his name was, but God chose a man, and God put into this man's heart and in this man's mind, His Spirit and all the wisdom and all the understanding and in knowledge. I was talking about today, I was recording a Watchman broadcast, and I was talking about today how that candlestick that was in the tabernacle, when you read it, you'll find out that the whole candlestick with the 7 candlesticks and all the knops and the buds and the flowers and bowls on there and everything, all the decorations on there, did you know that was made out of one solid piece of gold? Yeah, you go read it. It was all one solid piece of gold that the craftsman took and he beat it into the shape that was necessary for it. It was not molten. There was not a mold made or anything like that. It was done by beaten work. In the Bible, I can't remember the language, but it just kind of gives you the idea that it was all one solid piece of gold. Now you think about that. We just came from Silver Dollar City and I like to watch those guys blow glass. That ain't for me. I'd suck that in my lungs as sure as I'd be the worst glass blower. I'd be a glass sucker. Okay? Watching these guys work that lathe, watching these guys do the blacksmith stuff, that is not for me. I can't do that stuff. And here's a man now that God has given him wisdom and craftsmanship and knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And he's sitting there with a hammer and a big sheet of gold. And out of that one solid sheet, he makes this beautiful candlestick that represents the Holy Spirit. By the way, it represents the Bible. There's 66 decorations on that thing. I talked about that today. I had a good time today. Okay? But God put that in that man's heart. God is the one who put that in there. He didn't come up with it himself. You understand where I'm going with this? Job 27:3. All the while my breath is in me, the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. When the Spirit of God is there, you have wisdom, you have understanding, you have knowledge, but you have life. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Now watch this. God, remember, God brought you to a place where all the parties and all the things that you had and all the beer you drank and all the dope you smoked and all the people you was with and everything like that, God just turned that into zero. And now you're dead. The Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sins. What's God doing now when the Holy Spirit begins to move? He's giving you life. And it's a life like you've never had it before. Amen? Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the what? The same word, Spirit of God, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if the guy goes around saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. How many of y'all can have a problem believing that? Okay? He's smoking dope, drinking whiskey, chasing women all day long, telling dirty jokes all day long. Saturday, he lays up all day. Sunday, he does get up early, go fishing, or whatever it is he does on Sunday. But he's far away from the house of God, okay? That man has no life in him, and he's lying through his teeth. When the Spirit of God begins to move in you, all of a sudden, you start thinking differently. Amen? You start, and you'll... I'm going to bring this up. You vote different. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what, but I'm just telling you, you just start. We had a young lady out at Richwoods that she was, I mean, she was a liberal's liberal. Her husband, they were just a kind of a newlywed couple, had a little baby. And I don't remember what it was, but they started coming to church. He had been in church for, you know, as a young person. He started coming back and brought her, and she got saved. And there, we worked with her in her life, and it wasn't 2, 3, 4 weeks after she got saved. She testified. She said, you know, back when I was lost, I used to think it was okay to have abortions and it was okay for people to be gay and all this stuff. And she said, I don't believe in that stuff anymore. I just think that's wrong. I went, who told her that? Wasn't me. That was the Spirit of God putting that in her. Amen? So you get the idea. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Look at how this part applies to what it is that we're teaching. We're talking about a new creation. God doing something brand new in your life, and it must involve the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know who you were before that? You were a child of the devil. Amen? You had his wickedness in you. Jesus said you're of your father the devil. But now that you've been born again, now that the Spirit of God is in you, you are now no longer the devil's child. You're a son of God. Amen? There's this comedian. I'm just going to fill this in a little bit, make it colorful for you. I heard a guy on TV. He does a late night show now. I can't remember what his name is. But he was doing this as a comedy skit, but I liked it. He was interviewing this guy. He was one of these liberal Harvard scholars or something like that, or Jewish scholar or something like that. And he was talking about how Jesus wasn't really who the Christians say he is. Say, you know, he called himself the Son of God, but that didn't really mean, you know, he was God. And, you know, he was just this. And this comedian went after him. And he said, so wait a minute, let me get this straight. He said, here Jesus said he was the Son of God, but you're saying that that doesn't mean he's God. You know, it never meant that. And he said, the son of a duck is a duck. And I went, not bad. And he said, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and raises from the dead like a duck, it's a duck. And I went, yeah, that's pretty good. Listen, you're not the son of Satan anymore. You're a child of God. Amen. Things are different in your life. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. You know what that means? That means when you get mad and hit your thumb, you don't say, Jesus Christ, the way you used to. You don't curse Jesus anymore. He's special to you. Now you can say whoever else's name you want to. Amen. Yeah. Obama! But you don't say Jesus Christ the same way anymore. You know why? God put His Spirit in you, and now all of a sudden that name is not a cuss word. It's holy to you. Don't you drag my Jesus through the dirt. No man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now here's something that you may not see at this point. But when God takes the void of your... If God's going to do this, let me ask you a question. We know that God is going to get rid of this heaven and this earth. Am I correct? And we know He's going to replace it with a new heaven and a new earth. Is that correct? Let me ask you this question. Is God ever going to replace that heaven and earth? Is that new heaven and earth ever going to go away somewhere? Is God going to destroy it? Is it going to get corrupt like this one did? When you are sealed, when God makes a new creation out of you, it's permanent. Now I'm going to give you my testimony. Okay? Sterling will tell you, when I was growing up in this church, I heard from this pulpit this authorized Bible preach. Ken Goff knew what Bible to preach out of. Okay? and he never touched another one. I left and went and got educated. And I did, George. I thought I was way smarter than Ken Goff was. 3 years of Bible education, all it took for me to get way smarter than all the preachers I sat under. You remember those days when we were smarter than everybody when we were 19? Okay. And I just said, Bible's got mistakes in it. You can just read any Bible you want to. That's no big deal. Okay. What happened was this Bible became a void in my mind and in my life. It was nothing. And by God's grace, and I can tell you by God's grace alone, the Holy Ghost came in my office one day while I was sitting and I was pondering thought, I was thinking on these things, the Bible says. And I remember that day when the Spirit of God said, Mike, that Bible has no mistakes in it. It is the Word of God. You know what? From that day forward, there isn't a man or an institution in this world that's ever going to take that out of my mind and out of my heart. Amen. I've got so tickled. Brother Vern, he lives out in Pennsylvania, and his family, his wife and boys, he wasn't able to come. His wife and boys, they came to homecoming. They brought me a big old plaque. And they'd heard me say this on Pastor Mike Online one time. I said, you can have my King James Bible when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. And they put that on a plaque and brought that to me. I got it hanging up in my office right now. I love it! But isn't that the truth? Who in here really thinks that you are for sure this is how it's going to be from here on into glory? Raise your hand and say amen. Okay? Now, I'm not doing that to embarrass. I'm not doing that to boast. What I'm telling you is God will bring you to the place where when you are sealed, you'll know it. You'll know it. It's just like your grandma going through the mason jars. She knows which ones are sealed and which ones are not. Amen? Okay? Grieve not the Holy. You're sealed until the day of redemption. 1 John 4:2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now here's your life now. And yesterday you were not thinking anything about God, much less Jesus Christ. To you, Jesus Christ was just a cuss word, and it was just this phony baloney religion that your grandma and grandpa had, and it meant nothing to you. And now all of a sudden now things are different. Just like that, things are different. Okay? Well, I like this. Now watch this. This is what I wanted to get to. I'm going to teach this tonight. I want to let you guys, because you'll fly out of here. Okay? God said, let there be light. Now, first thing I want to do is I want to show you this. How many words do I have up underlined on the screen up there? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Who's the light of the world? All you got to do is read the fourth gospel, which is John. Read the first chapter, and you know what you'll see? He's the light. The Word is the light. Amen? This, now, watch this. We haven't even got off of day one. This is the beginning of God working in a new creation's life. Or let's say that there has been you're a Christian, you know you're saved, but there's just been an issue of life. And you've just been dealing with it and just saying, God, I need help, God, I need help, God, I need help. And all of a sudden now, when God is going to work in you, this is how He's going to do it. You know the first thing God's going to do? Let's say you've got an old friend that you just like hanging around and you just can't get away from them. And you know that they're just there to pull you down, and just for some reason you just can't get away from them. You know the first thing God will do? God will void the friendship. Just like that. Now, guess what? You don't have a choice anymore. Friendship's dead. And you can take that then, you can apply it to issues in a marriage. You can apply it to issues in relationships. You can apply this to issues at work that you're praying about. Am I right on this? This is how God does these things, people. This is God giving us wisdom. This is how He works. And you know what? As long as we understand how God works, I think it makes it easier on us to have patience with God while we stand in awe and go, wow, would you look at Him go? Amen. That's just like watching me tape drywall. You're laughing at me. You don't know how I tape. It's not good. And then I'll finally say, Sterling, come over here and fix this for me. And Sterling will come over there, and I don't know how he does it, but the mud just lays on there perfect. And he's like three steps and he's done, and I'm just going, man, I'm glad you did that. That's good. I'm not jealous at all anymore. Amen. This is how God's working in your life. Stand back and let him do it. Okay? So God's going to make it void. Then the Spirit of God's going to move now. And then God's going to do something for you that's never been done before. You're like a blind man who's been blind for 40 years of his life. And all of a sudden Jesus comes up, spits in the dirt, makes mud out of it, rubs it in your eyes. You go wash in the pool of Siloam, and all of a sudden now you can see for the first time in your life. Can you imagine that? Going, seeing colors and light and how people really look and what trees are and rocks and everything. For the first time in your life, you're seeing, you're just going, this is amazing. And did you know at this point, there is no sun, moon, and stars? I want to get to that later, okay? But he said, let there be light, and there was light. Now I want you to focus on how light came about. And God said, that's the source of the light. It's the Word of God. God called the light day and the darkness. He called night and evening and the morning were the first day. And I'm not even going to get into that yet, because God automatically starts showing you separation. Light does not go to bed with darkness. Amen? They don't commune together. Now watch this. This is where I had that in my notes for today. And you know what it was? I was looking at it and I'm going, God, this is a week old. This is like giving them stale bread. I don't want to give them that. And God said, let there be light. Now watch this. Look at these verses. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Who did it? Who made you realize you were wicked? Who made you realize you were lost? Who made you realize you needed to be saved? Who made you realize all these things? God did that. God said, let there be light. God lit a candle in your life. Whereas before, all you knew how to do was curse the darkness. Now God lit a candle in your life. Look at verse 6 of chapter 37. He shall bring forth, watch this, thy righteousness as the light. Look at that. I started getting happy today. I'm looking at that going, good grief, that's it. Here your life is void. You've been living for the devil all along. God said, let there be light. And you know what? All of a sudden now, you start seeing things the right way. You know what Adam and Eve saw? We're naked. God turned the light on, and they realized they were naked. And the first thing that happens is we realize, it comes in our mind, and we realize that how we've been living our life was wrong. And we need somebody to show us the right way to live. All of a sudden, God's commandments are becoming light to your life. Amen? That he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Psalm 43:3. Oh, send out thy light and thy what? Truth. He's mixing it in with the Bible. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Because where do we want to go? Heaven. God's going to do it with the light. Psalm 90 verse 8. Thou hast, watch this, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Now here's where it starts really getting down to us. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Charles Manson or whoever. You've got secret sins you don't talk about, you don't share with everybody. Even in the day when you were lost and you were bragging about stuff you did, there were things you did that you didn't want anybody to know about. Right? Now remember, this also applies to believers. God turned the light on. God's showing you His righteousness. He's showing you His right way to live. Simultaneously, God is putting a light on your secret iniquities. He's putting a light in a place where no one else has been able to see before. And you don't want them to see that. This Bible's right, isn't it? Aren't you glad God turns the light on? Okay? Psalm 97:11. Light, I like this one. Light is sown for the righteousness and gladness for the upright in heart. The word sown, what does that mean? It's planted. All God had to do was turn a little bitty seed of light on in your life. Because when you're in a completely dark room, you don't need a floodlight, do you? When it's completely dark, you just light a candle. You can see just about everything you need to see. But here's what God does. See, the Word is the seed, and the Word is the light. And what God did was, He's very big. Now listen to this. Now, this is for new converts. This would be for like Heather and other people who just come into the Lord. God did not teach Heather 100% of all of His Bible doctrines in one moment of time. And she now knows everything, did He? He didn't do it with me. He hasn't done it with you. But what God did was, God sowed the seed of light in that good ground of your life. And over time, what is it going to produce? More and more. It's going to bring forth fruit. That's the ultimate goal here. Amen? But God doesn't have to deal with every sin that a person does all in one day. In fact, I don't know of anybody that I've ever seen come to the Lord where God just cleaned up everything all in one day. And they were living in perfection until... I don't know that person. That person was not me. But as God sowed the light in me, more and more I begin to see how wrong I am and how right God is. God begins one thing at a time to work in me. How many of that makes sense? Say amen. Okay? Psalm 112:4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Now here's what you see. You've seen your secret sins. You're thinking, surely God's going to kill me for this. But God has also shown enough light in your life to see that God wouldn't have brought you to this place had He not been gracious. God would not have even turned this on to you while you were alive had He not been full of mercy and willing to say to you, look, I knew it was there. Because you know what the Bible says about how God sees darkness? God sees the darkness like it's light. It can be completely dark, and God can see right in that. So all the things that you were hiding, God knew they were there to begin with. By the way, all the things you haven't even done yet, God knew they were there. When He called you knowing both what you did, what you are now, and what you're going to be the next 25 years. He knows all of these things. And yet God showed you the moment He saved you that He's a gracious God. Did God forgive you the day that you got saved? Say amen. What about, did God forgive you last week? What about yesterday? God forgive you yesterday? Same thing. God's rich in mercy, my friend. And God shines that light and He shows us His graciousness. Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now all of a sudden we don't know where to go, but now God turns light on and we can start seeing things. We start seeing the path. Psalm 119:130, The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now again, at this point there is no direct source of that light, but that light's there. And it usually accompanies the word of God somehow, some way. And maybe you pull a verse out of your mind that you hadn't heard since you were 8 years old, and all of a sudden it's there. Does that sound familiar, John? Verses that you hadn't heard in years. And the moment God started dealing with you, all of a sudden, boom, there they are right there. That's the light of God's Word. The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are what? Look at this. The way of life. God's going to show you His Word, and He's going to do it one piece at a time. I'm one of these. I believe that you can take John 3:16 to any lost sinner and say, let me tell you what this verse is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe they can get saved on that one verse. Right? Is there more Bible than that? Sure there is. But that's where we're going to start. Amen? That's the word. That's the light that's going into your life. And it may, listen, I'm almost done. It may be an issue in your life. It may be something that's been just, it's had its day and God's going to deal with it. And normally how God's going to do this thing is that He's going to present a Bible verse to you that maybe you have never seen a day in your life. I've read verses that I had no idea that was in the Bible. I've read things where God got a hold of me with one verse out of the Bible and said, Mike, what you've been doing is wrong. God, I didn't know that. God, I'm sorry. God, show me the path that you want me to walk on. One verse is all it takes. Amen? God will give them the rest of it. Stand to your feet. Well, that is good. Good. Then we get into John. We're going all kinds of places. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. We're not even on day two yet. We're just on day one. Okay? We'll get there, though. These are good lessons. These are good things for us that apply to our life. They'll help us see lost people. And here's Danny sitting over there. And I guarantee you that man does not know two verses out of the Bible by heart. But he's heard enough of them. I know by me to know the truth. Amen? I believe God's merciful to him is what I believe.